Happy Sabbath, everyone. Can you hear me? Amen. Isn't it a blessing to have our young people doing such a wonderful job? Have the law of God in their heart, in their minds. Amen. What a blessing, you know. Jesus always talked about the young people, and he said, forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God, right? He wanted all of us to be young people, right? Because I can put everything aside and come on God's holy day with God's people, amen? Amen. And rest and keep my mind in tune with him only and nothing else but that. Amen. Today's going to be, it's a special day, you know, because it's Adventure Day, and I love adventures. When I was asked to become one of the teachers, it was a privilege for me to do that because I love kids. I love dealing with kids. I love being around kids, and we have good leaders. Lily has been doing a wonderful job. I got to put my hats up to Lily. It's a tough job dealing with kids, but she has been doing a wonderful job. And then the teachers surrounded her as well, and Frank and everyone else has been doing an excellent job. And I say we have a good crew. What do you say? I think we have a pretty good crew, and you can see the work, the fruit of the labor that came today. Amen? I think the kids did a wonderful job this morning with the singing, and especially with the Ten Commandments. I hope we can keep them. Amen? Keep it out of love. Amen. I'd like to also thank the elders, thank the pastor for giving me the opportunity as well to present on the platform this morning. That the Lord can actually bless our heart this morning. Amen? Amen. Before we get started, let's have a word of prayer and ask God's Spirit once again to come in and dwell with us. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you for this opportunity. We want to thank you, Lord, that we are in your presence, and we ask that you may speak through me, that your people may be fed this morning. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Our topic for today actually is called Obedience of Love. Obedience of Love. And my premise, actually, let's see if this is working here. I think it's on. Okay, there we go. Okay, I think it's on now. There we go. Amen. The premise or the focal point of our message, I want you to focus on. The kids did a wonderful job with the Ten Commandments. But my premise, I want us to focus on kids. Now, let's read that with me. God is a God of what? Of law and order, by which it's founded on what? Love and mercy. So God is, he is a God of law, and he's also a God of order. But at the same time, we shouldn't just stop there, right? We got to go a little deeper than that, that God's love and law is founded, the foundation is on mercy and love. Amen? I want you to understand that. I want you to just kind of take that in slowly because we're going to work on that. Amen? So when God created man, he decided that if he was going to make man in his own image, that he was going to make sure that man had an establishment of law and what else? And order. Because God knew where there is no law and there's no order, there's what? Chaos. Are you listening to me this morning? God wanted to make sure that Adam, I'm saying Adam because Eve was not around when God established that. Everyone looks at that and say, well, when God gave that law, it was Adam and Eve. No, let's look at the text quickly here. Looking at Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. What did it say here? He says, so the Lord God took man he had made and settled him in the garden of what? Of Eden to cultivate and to keep it. Did it say Adam and Eve or did it say man? If you look at that thing, it's plural. It's actually singular in its sense. And what did he say? To keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, are you listening to me? Saying, you may freely, unconditionally eat the fruit from every tree of the garden. But only from the tree of the knowledge or the recognition of that tree of good and evil, you shall not eat. Otherwise, on the day that you eat from it, what's going to happen, kids? You shall surely die because of what? Because of your disobedience. This is from the Amplified Bible. So God established a premise or a law because he knew the end from the beginning. God knew that if he did not establish laws to establish man in the garden, that chaos will happen. Are you listening to me this morning? So God gave that premise to Adam first so that Adam may build a relationship of love with him. Are you listening to me? God wanted to make sure that Adam established a relationship with him first before he can establish a relationship with his wife. That's pretty deep, huh? So God made sure that Adam understood that there was a command that he needs to follow, and that command was not because God wanted to constrain Adam, but God wanted to protect Adam. Huh. So are we saying that when God gave Adam that law, it was to keep him away from something good? You know, sometimes, kids, we believe that when our parents say, Johnny or Sally, you can't do that. And we look at our parents, oh, I wonder what they're trying to hide from me. I wonder why mommy and daddy is saying, I can't do that. I don't like that because I want to do what I want to do. I think mommy's not trying to allow me to have fun. How many of us have ever felt that way? I used to feel that way too. But you know, God, just like your parents, knew something that we don't know. God is always trying to protect us. Also, our parents is always trying to protect us. Guess what? Our parents was also kids at one time. They were also kids at one time, and they probably did exactly what you did or what we did when we were young. So they knew the consequences when we disobeyed. So God wanted to establish a premise with Adam before Eve came into the picture. And that premise was built on what? Love. Amen? Let's move on quickly here. So that was the first command that God made for man. And that command was what, kids? What was the first command? Amen. Thou shalt not eat from the forbidden tree. Was there mangoes on that tree that Adam couldn't eat? Of course not, right? Well, there probably was some good fruits in there, right? What kind of fruits was in that tree, you think it was? It was the tree of good and evil, but it was good and evil. Why couldn't he go there? There was good and evil in that tree, right? Somebody over here. There was good and evil on that tree. Why couldn't Adam eat from that tree? Was there something bad about that tree? Because the snake. Oh, there was a snake there. Yeah, that's true. But why didn't God want them to eat from that tree? Was it a bad tree? If you eat it, you die? Poison or something like that? No. Why? Because why wasn't they supposed to eat from that tree? Because of what? Oh, wow. Because he wanted to allow them to understand love of obedience. Oh, wow. This is beautiful. Wow, this is wonderful. Very good. That'd be very good. You see, there was nothing wrong with the tree. I'm presuming the fruits taste pretty good. It probably was mangoes, Julie mangoes probably. Yeah. Probably. So God actually wanted to establish that relationship with them. And God said it because he wanted Adam to actually establish trust and love for him and not to do that. Amen? So when your parents tell you not to do something, it's not that they're trying to hide something. They wanted to establish that relationship with you that you can trust them in love. Amen? All right, let's go on. I think we're getting somewhere here. What happened here? Okay, let's get back here. Let's get back. All right, so after Adam was placed in the garden, God created Eve. And Adam was to establish that relationship with Eve as he had with God before Eve came into the picture. Amen? You know, wonderful, beautiful Eve up there. So God wanted to establish that relationship with Adam first. Then secondly, Adam was to establish that relationship with Eve. Does that make sense? So Adam did that. He had a good, loving relationship with Eve, and he explained to Eve there was one command that God wanted us to follow, and it was what? That little tree in the middle of the garden, right? But it seemed like Eve got curious one day, right? I wonder why God is trying to hide this tree from us, right? So she got a little curious, right? Have you ever get a little curious one day? And say, well, you know, I wonder why Mama said I can't cross the street and go to the neighbor's house. I don't see anything wrong in the neighbor's house. Their nice house, they have cars, they have a basketball court out there, and the girls have dolls and playhouse. I don't see anything wrong going to the neighbor's house across the street. I see nothing wrong with that. So you think that there's a reason why Mommy doesn't want you to cross the street to the neighbor's house? Huh? A what? A car. Oh, so are you saying that the reason why is because there may be a catastrophe? Okay, wonderful, wonderful. So let's look at that. So why do you think God told Adam not to, and Eve eventually, not to eat from the tree? What does it say? Let's go back to that. What does it say on there? Let's go back to that quickly here. What? Look at the bottom. It says, of the tree of good. You see that word recognition over there? Of good and evil, you shall not eat. Otherwise, what will happen? The day you do what? You eat of it. What will happen? You will what? What happened if you cross the street and after your mom said not to cross the street and the car hit you, what was going to happen? Oh, so there's a consequence to disobedience, huh?
Wow.
Oh, well, that's true. That's true. So God wanted to do what? He wanted to protect. Let's look at this, right? So God wanted to protect Adam and Eve, right? So God didn't really want to hide anything from them, right? So Mom really doesn't want to hide anything from you crossing the street, right? Right. So we got to establish. Let's move on now. Let's move on. So after Adam and Eve sinned, they ate from the forbidden tree, what happened? You're right. God came back and said, actually, let's go backward. What was Adam doing when he ate from the tree? Adam and Eve, what did they do? They were doing what? They were hiding. When you disobey your mama crossing the street, what do you do if your mama is coming to see you? You hide, right? Whoa. Why are you hiding? Did you do something wrong?
Yeah.
So Adam and Eve was hiding because they did something wrong, right? So let's establish that now. So God came looking for Adam. Did God know where Adam was?
Yeah.
He said, Adam, where are you? I think God knew where Adam was because God can see everything, right?
Yeah.
He has a computer in his brain that can see everything, right? Oh, okay, well, probably that's true. That's probably true. That's probably true. Now, so let's go back to that. Let's go back to that, Evans. Let's go back to that. So God wanted to look for Adam, right? He did, right? But did God, was Adam lost, or was God looking through the brushes and find where Adam was? God knew where Adam was. God wanted Adam to know where he was.
And also, first of all,
Wow, but that's true. I think if Eve communicated with Adam first about Eden, probably that would have not happened, right? Well, that's true. Well, a good point, Evans. Good point. That's a very good point. So, after Adam and Eve sinned, okay, God, okay, when you commit that crime, well, is it a crime? Well, it probably is a crime, right? And you cross the street, and a car almost hit you, and your mommy sees it. Does she? What would your mama do after that? After she sees that car almost hit you? She's gonna ground you. You get a ticket for jaywalking. Okay, good. All right. She gets mad. Okay. Yeah, but probably have to pay your college tuition. Probably, yeah. Yeah, you have to pay your college tuition. Probably, yeah. Gabby. That's true. You'll be in big trouble and they'll punish you. So, yes, one more question. One more. Okay, well, the parents might break one of your favorite things. That's probably something my dad would have done, probably, yeah. Huh? They'll give you a jaywalking bill. Okay, well, good. All good points. Yes, all good points. But let's get back to the premise now. Let's get back to it. Okay, so God is a God of what? Law and order, right? Which is on the foundation of what? Of mercy and what? And love. So even though Adam and Eve ate from the tree of good and evil and they did wrong, God's love always comes first. Amen? It always comes to overshadow that. So God said, you know what? Adam, where are you? Adam, I want you to know where you are, the state that you are in. I know where you are, Adam, but do you know where you are? I want you to establish that relationship back with me that you have just lost. So God said, you know what? Adam, I know you did wrong. I know you sinned. You and Eve sinned, but I am going to give you a plan. I have a plan set for you already before you even sinned. I set a plan before you. And guess what that plan was? Guess what it says here? Let's look at it. Let's read that. And I will put what? Enmity and open hostility between you and the woman and between your seed, the offspring, and her seed. Who is her seed? He is who? Jesus. So, and what's going to happen? Shall fatally bruise your, who's your, the devil's what? Head. So God had a plan of salvation set in place for Adam and Eve because he had mercy. Amen? He had mercy. And God's mercy always come in when we do wrong. Amen? So when you do something wrong, don't hide, confess. You see, if Adam came forward and said, God, I have sinned, instead of hiding behind the tree, you know, God will find him anyhow. You see, my dad always said, you can run, but you can't hide, you know. But the fact about it is, if you confess your sin, he's what? He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to do what? Cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So God is always looking for us, not because to punish us, but to bring us back to him in love. Amen? Remember that, kids, okay? So mama doesn't want to just punish you. Well, they want to keep you in line, but at the same time, they want to love you so you don't go wrong again. Amen? Amen. So you stay safe in the realm. So let's go on here. So God had a plan for Adam and Eve, and it was to bring them back to him in love. Amen? All right. So let's go back. Now, Adam and Eve sinned, and they did wrong, and God established a new nation after the flood. And he chose Abraham to do that, right? And Abraham bring forth a son, Isaac, and Isaac also bring forth another son, Jacob, and establish a new nation called, what's the nation called? Israel, yes, Israel, or Jerusalem, yes, Israel. And Israel was in captivity in Egypt for how many years? Over 400 years, that's right. They were over 400 years. And while they were in captivity, they forgot who? Jesus or God. They forgot God. And what happened with Adam? Did Adam forget God? He did because he was hiding, right? So they were hiding in Egypt for over 400 years and they forgot about God. And they were crying because they were in bondage. And guess what God decided to do? To raise a leader. What's his name?
Moses.
And God raised Moses and Aaron. That's correct, Evan. And God raised Moses and Aaron to bring them back to him. So here's what God did. He freed them from Egypt. And God is a God of what? Of law and what?
Order.
And order. Oh, wow, we get it good. You're listening very well. So God is a God of law and order. So God said, I want to bring you out of Egypt, but I want you to understand who's doing it. So what did he say? I am the Lord thy God who has done what? Brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of what? Of slavery. So therefore, you see that word in red? Therefore, since I did it, not anyone else, since I did that, you should do what? You shall have no other gods before me. What? That's right. That's right. So God wanted to establish that relationship with them first. God wanted to let Israel know that I am the God that brought you out of the land of bondage, and because of that, you should obey me. Amen? But God wanted to establish a loving relationship with them through the process. Do you understand that? God wanted to establish that relationship with Israel, so he established a relationship through his laws. Because God is a God of what? Law and order. Amen. So let's go on quickly here. So let's look at the kids' commandments. Let's see what God gave them. So God, the first thing that God said was what? Love God more than you love what? Anything else. Amen. So God said, I brought you out, I redeemed you from sin, Adam and Eve, and now I want you to love me more than anything else. Amen? Second commandment, what did he say? Don't make anything in your life more important than me. All right? Or God, right? That includes our iPod, well, you guys don't go on Facebook, right? What's that?
PS4,
okay. What else? Auto Nintendo.
Facebook.
Okay, what else on this side? What else do we put before God? We should not, should we not put before God, I should say, right?
Yeah. TV.
Okay, good. So God is saying these things should not be before me, all right? Let's look at three. Always say God's name with love and respect. Do we do that sometimes? Oh, God, no. You ever heard that before? And we also use God in different ways, I won't say today, right? We do. So God wanted to take his name in reverence because his name is sacred, right? It's holy. Amen? Let's look at number four. So what does it say? Honor the Lord by resting on the seventh day of the week. Amen. That means what? It doesn't mean sleeping. That's true. What does it mean? Yeah, so what does that mean, to rest on the seventh day? What does that mean? Anyone want to take that on? What does it mean to rest on the seventh day? That means to take your pillow and go to sleep?
No.
On the seventh day? What does it mean?
Do not work on the
seventh day. Do not work? Oh, but what kind of work are you talking about?
Like, go to work and, like, if you're, like, fixing your car.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fixing your car. Okay, what else? What else? Fixing your car. Go ahead, William. Circle K. Okay. So not doing your own thing. Well, true. Well, I'm not saying you go to Circle K on the Sabbath, but. If you need gas. Okay. All right. Okay. Well. Okay. I can see that. So God, I like that. Those points, by the way. So very good point. Yes, God wanted to pull away from work. And the reason why God wants to pull away from these things is because he wants the time for himself with us. You ever heard that song? I miss my time with you, the moment we spent together. You see, all week we are doing everything and we forget God sometimes, all right? So God said, you know what? Just give me one day. Just one day so I can spend some time with you. Amen? That's all God wants. He wants us to rest from everything else and rest on Him. Does that make sense? Kids, so when you are at church, we shouldn't be pulling our iPod out and playing because that's God's time. Amen? Oh, the Nintendo. What else do we bring to church? What else do we bring to church? Well, I know you guys bring some stuff to church, right? Huh? Huh? Oh, you buy the Bible out. Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Yeah. What else do we bring to church, William? Okay, right. You can learn something from the sermon, so you should be paying attention. That's what you're saying, right? Yeah, we should be paying attention. So what should we be doing on the Sabbath day of rest? What should we be doing? I want to hear from you guys. Huh? Yeah.
You should always
be going to church. What else can we be doing on the Sabbath? Yes. Listen to the sermon and paying attention. That's good. Really good. Very good. What else? Go ahead. Okay. Yeah, very good point. So we can do a lot of things. Yes, go ahead. Right, exactly. So he wants us to go to church, stay away from work, and go to church and have fun. Amen. In church. Amen. Yes.
And he wants to
spend time with him. I love that. I love that. So God really wants us to spend time with him and nothing else. God is a jealous God, right? Isn't he a jealous God? Yeah, but he should be jealous if you have a good friend, right? Very good friend, and that friend goes and choose someone else as a best friend, wouldn't you not feel jealous? You would be, right? Because that's your best friend. So when you're actually doing other things and God's time, he gets jealous, you know? He doesn't like that, you know? All right? So let's move on. Number 5, love and respect your mom and dad. We're going to get back to that. Let's get back to that one because it's on there. Never hurt anyone. Number 6. How many of us like to hurt people? Do you like hurting people? I don't, because you want to do unto others, right? Like you like others do unto you, right? Amen, amen, yes, go ahead. Huh? It feels mean, that's right. We should actually not harm anyone. But actually, the text also says, thou shall not actually kill, really, you know? You know what the word kill in that text mean? It means to murder. You know that? It means to murder. It's a premeditated form. It doesn't mean to step on an ant or kill a centipede. It doesn't mean that. It means to murder. You premeditate to do someone wrong. Are you listening to me? So if you're planning in your mind, I'm going to get Joe back for what he did to me yesterday. I'm going to really beat him up real good tomorrow when I see him. That's premeditating evil. So that's what the Bible's talking about here, all right? Mm-hmm. Or, you know what? She dropped my doll and it ripped the leg open. You know, I don't like that. So you know what I'm going to do tomorrow? I'm going to spill some tea and some soda and drinks on her doll tomorrow. And I'm going to pay her back for what she did to my doll. Is that right? It's not right. So God actually wants us to respect others. Amen? Number 7, always be faithful to your husband or wife. I'm going to leave that one alone. Okay, let's go to number 8. Don't take anything that isn't yours. Right, there's nothing wrong with that, right? If Trey has something in his hand, an iPod or something, and I want to play with it, I can take it and play with it if I want to, right? Without asking him, right? There's nothing wrong with that, right? Or if Trey lifts his bicycle in the front seat, in the front yard, and I say, well, he's not riding it right now. I can take it home and bring it back next week. There's nothing wrong with that, right?
No,
there is?
Yeah, you'd be stealing it.
Oh, without his permission. So that's stealing, huh? Oh, yes.
You'd be stealing.
Okay, so God is saying here that we shouldn't take anything that belongs to anyone else. Yes.
Yeah,
Always ask before. Oh, hold on. So wait a minute. So you mean to tell me in the midnight hour when mama and dad is sleeping, you're in the cookie jar, is that something wrong with that? Yeah. After mommy said not to go in there?
Sugar.
It's sugar, but what are we doing in the cookie jar when mama said before you go to bed not to eat anything else? And mama is sleeping at 12 o'clock midnight and you're in the cookie jar grabbing it. What do we say about that? Is that stealing or that's disobedience this way? It's two. Yes, it's disobedient and it's stealing. Because you didn't ask permission, right? Huh? You didn't ask permission. Good job. You did not ask permission. So that's stealing. Yes. Yes, right. You have to ask permission all the time. Amen. All right, so let's move on. David, good point. Very good point. Okay, number 9, always tell the truth. That's a very good one, you know. I like that one, you know, because, you know, telling the truth is very important, right? You ever heard that story of that little boy that always says, cry wolf every second? Wolf, wolf, and everyone runs to the rescue and... Where's the wolf? No, there's no wolf. And I was like, oh my goodness. They go back again. And he said, yo, this was fun. Let's try it again. So he goes back again. Wolf, wolf, wolf. And everyone stopped what they're doing and ran back out. And where's the wolf at? No wolf. And they said, okay, all right. So the next time he said, you know what? I'm getting good at this, you know. Let's try it one more time. So he was getting ready to try it. And he looked back and there were actually a wolf. Oh my goodness. And he's like, oh my goodness, wolf, wolf, wolf. And everyone's like, don't pay that kid attention, man. He's playing games with us again. Don't listen to him. Huh? The boy who cried wolf. And guess what happened to him? The wolf ate him up and he died. And the sheep. Yeah. He faked the sheep. Right, that's and the sheep, exactly. The wolf and the boy and the sheep as well died, exactly. He ate the boy as well too, yeah. But okay. Anyhow, the premise of the story is this: that when you tell the truth, people will always believe you. Amen. If you tell the lie when you nearly need help, no one will believe you. Well, I know someone knows what I'm talking about, right? Yes. You want your mama and daddy to always have trust in you when you say something. Because when you really need their help, they may not believe you if you always tell a lie. Amen? All right, good. Let's go on. The last one says, be happy with what you have. Don't wish for other people's things. Yes. Hold on. Let's see that again. Sit it right here.
It's like if you don't have nice toys, so you want to get somebody else's toys.
Amen. Very good point. Actually, I think this sums it up. That's right. Actually, let's put it this way. Enjoy what you have because the grass is not always greener on the other side. If you have something that you really don't like, but you see someone else has something on the other side that looks better, that doesn't mean it's better all the time. But what you can do, you know what? Let's put it this way. If you have a friend or someone next door that has a bicycle that is better than yours, what do you think is the best thing to do? Do you feel sad and feel jealous and mad with that neighbor?
No.
What do you think you should do?
Be happy.
Okay, go buy your own bicycle, but what else you can do? Be happy that someone has it.
Be happy that you have it, because some people out there don't have any.
Exactly. That's a very good point.
Like,
but
if you have one candy, someone has like 15 million candy, and you get really sad, lots of people out there don't even have a single candy.
They don't even have a single candy. Exactly. So be happy with what you have, right? But at the same time, what can you do? Happy with what you have.
Be happy with what you have because your mom spent a lot of money on it
as well. That's right. Be happy.
Xboxes,
Exactly. But I wanted to get another point, but nobody's hitting that point. You can always go next door to the neighbor and say, can I ride your bicycle as well? Isn't that another way of putting it? I enjoy your bicycle. It's a beautiful bicycle. I don't have one like yours. Can I get a ride on it? Isn't that something? And you can share the bicycle. Amen? But all the points you made were brilliant. They were very brilliant points. Amen. Very good. Very good, kids. I like that. Okay, let's get back to the one we missed. What does it mean to honor your father and your mother? You remember I skipped that one for a reason? What does it say? Children, obey your what? Your parents in the Lord. For what? That is acceptable, that is accepted their guidance and their discipline as is representative. So in other words, let's go back. You see the word that says in law, in the Lord? It means that God himself has accepted your parents as their earthly guidance for you. And he says, for this is the right. He says, hey, for obedience teaches wisdom and self-discipline. So in other words, what the Bible is saying here is that children, obey your parents because the parents is an example of me and you should do it in love. Amen? So in other words, what God is saying here, listen, kids, if you love me, you will obey and love the person that I put above you. Amen? Which is the parent. So you should do that in love. In love. Amen? Let's go on. Okay, so Jesus was actually teaching, and the disciples were actually with him as well. So a lawyer came to Jesus one day, was trying to mesmerize him, was trying to play with his brain a little, his mind a little. So he said, well, teacher, what is the greatest commandment? What is the greatest commandment? What did Jesus say to him? Jesus said what? Number one, you shall love the Lord your God with what? All your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Guess what? That's the first four commandments. First four commandments. That we should do what? Have no other God before him. What else? We should not make any graven image. We should do what? Not take his name in vain. And what else? We should remember the what? The Sabbath day to keep it holy. These are the ones that are to God. All right? And what did Jesus say to the lawyer? The second one. He said, the second commandment is this. You shall love your neighbors as what? As yourself. So the last six commandments are towards our fellow men, as we went over. So everything is built on that. And these two commandments that Jesus said were built on what? L-O-V-E, love. Amen? So the premise of the whole Ten Commandments is built on what? On love. Obedience to God is built on love. Let's go on. So the fruit of the Spirit grows only in the garden of what? Obedience. So God has given us a fruit, and that fruit that he's given us is of the Spirit, and it's built on obedience in love. Amen? Let's move on. So let's look at Paul quickly. We're almost getting to an end here. Let's look at Paul quickly. What is Paul's insight on obedience? What does Paul say? For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one die for all, then we were all dead. What does that mean? What does that mean? So in other words, what Paul is saying is this, that the love of Christ keeps me in line. So in other words, when I want to do something, the love of God keeps me from not doing it. Amen? Are you getting that? So the love of God, because I love God, I will not steal from my neighbor. Because I love God, I would not take something that belongs to me. Because I love God, I will not lie. Are you listening to me? Paul is saying that the love of God constrains him. It keeps him in line. It keeps him from doing wrong. Amen? The love of my parents keep me from doing wrong. So, in other words, I don't obey my parents because I fear them or I fear the repercussion of my behavior. I obey my parents because I love them. Amen? So, because I love mama, I would not do what is wrong. Makes sense? So, Paul is saying, because of Christ, I will not do what is wrong. Because Paul looked and he saw what God has done through Christ on the cross to die for our sins. So he says, whenever he looks at God, look at Christ on the cross, the love of that keeps him in line. Amen? So that's what Paul is saying. So when we look at our parents for what they do, it's all built on love. Amen? All right. I love this statement here from Elizabeth Elliot. And it says here, when obedience to God contradicts what I think will give me pleasure, let me ask myself if I love him. That's pretty deep, huh? What does that say? Let's look at the text. It says, if you really love me, you will do what? You keep my commandment. So in other words, what God is saying here, it's all built on love. If you want to serve me, if you want to obey me, it should be done out of love. Only love, not unfair. Amen? All right, let's move forward quickly. We're almost done. Actually, I think that's my last slide. So, let's look at this quickly here. So, how do we enter into the city of God? Now, we have to go to heaven, right? How many of us want to go to heaven? Isn't that our plan, right? That's all of our plan to get to heaven, right? But how do we get into heaven? Guess what the Bible says? The last chapter in the Bible. What does it say? Blessed are they that do what? That do his commandments, that they may have what? Right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gate into the what? Into the city. So getting to heaven is based on what? Obedience to God in love. And because you obey him through love, you will always do what is right and not through fear. Amen? So God wants us to know if you're going to get to heaven, it's going to be through love, obeying my commandments. Amen? Not because you're afraid of hellfire or you're afraid that God is going to punish you like Adam taught, hiding behind a tree. Make sense? God wants us to serve him out of love. And also, God wants us to serve our parents out of love as well. Amen? Because what? Obedience is what? It is how we should show we love who? Amen. This is the whole premise, that God wants us to obey him in love. And if we obey God in love, we will obey our parents and our teachers and our leaders in love. Amen?